Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you this Christmas Eve morning. We hope you're having a good Christmas time with your family. Hope you got a great day planned tomorrow. And we hope most of all that you make sure that everybody knows that the reason that you're celebrating is because of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that we get across to our family and to our friends today. The best gift that we can give will be the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we hope you'll all have a great Christmas. I know our family's kind of scattered. We kind of had our Christmas like on the tent because several of them had places to go and things to do. And it seems like the more that you get in the family, the more scattered it gets. But we'll have a good time with those that are there with us during that Christmas season. But we hope that you have a wonderful one with your family. Hope all of you are doing okay this morning. And so we're going to be going once again looking into the Christmas story. This morning I want us to think about the greatest story ever told. Now, you know, we've heard books written about that. We've heard songs sung about it. We've heard, seen movies about it and cantatas that were sang about it. We had our Christmas cantata last Sunday night. Had a great time. Our handbells did a great job. We had a great crowd of people. And being in that one service really adds so much when we can do that. So we hope it this morning, as we look at that Christmas story one more time, the greatest story ever told, we're going to read it from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 through verse 20. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time together this morning. Father, what a great joy it is as we come on this Christmas Eve day, Lord, to worship You and to praise You and to glorify Your name for what You did, giving us that greatest gift of all, Your only begotten Son, Jesus, to come in the form of a baby to this earth, Lord, to die on the cross for our sins and then to raise Him up on that third day so that we can have that hope of eternal life. So we pray this morning, if there's one that doesn't really know this real Jesus, then Lord, I pray that the day would be the day that they would receive the greatest gift they'll ever get, and that is of salvation. So Lord, speak through me the words that we need to hear today. Lord, I just pray that this Christmas story will be alive and real to us once again. And I ask You, Lord, just remove anything in my heart or mind that stands between me and You. Lord, cleanse me of my sin, that these will always be Your words and not ours. And Lord, we're going to be careful to give You the honor and the praise and the glory, not just today, but every day that we walk the face of this earth. Lord, we will tell people about You. We pray for those listening. Some may be sick this morning, not able to make it to church. Some may be shut in. Lord, just minister to all of these, to their needs, those that may be traveling, trying to get to Grandma's house for Christmas or whatever, Lord. Give them safe journey to and from, that all the families can be together and have a wonderful Christmas together. So speak to us now. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. As we think about that greatest story ever told, you know, we all like to tell stories, don't we? No matter what the stories are. But we've heard, like I said, cantatas, we've heard books written, songs, and everything else, movies about the greatest story ever told. And you know the wonderful thing about the story of the birth of Christ, it never gets old, does it? We always like to watch it over and over. We always like to hear it over and over, the Christmas story. There's just something about that Christmas story that over and over every year. I know I've been pastoring 47 years and been in church all my life, almost 67 years, and I know that with preaching it and sharing it, that it never gets old just to read that Christmas story and to think about it, because it is that greatest story ever told. So let's look, if you will, at the scripture beginning in Luke chapter 2. We all know it, beginning with verse 1, and it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And his taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own country. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that as shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered of those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, this truly is the greatest story ever told. Of all the great stories in the Bible, the creation story, the great story of the flood and Noah, the great story of David and Goliath and Daniel and the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being in the fiery furnace, the great stories that we see of Ezekiel and Elijah and all these others and Jeremiah, the great stories that can be told throughout the Bible. You know, when you look into the New Testament, you find the great stories of all that Jesus did when he was walking the face of this earth. There's no greater story than the story of the birth of Christ, the beginning of all these great things, the fulfilling of those scriptures. You know, last week we looked at the greatest gift that we ever received. You remember that? We talked about the greatest gifts, how that what the wise men gave, and then what Jesus gave, what God gave to us. And then the question was, what will we give to him? But when we come to this morning, to once again, tomorrow morning, we'll get up and we'll celebrate the birth of our Savior. And this morning in our church service, we're celebrating the birth of our Savior. It is that greatest story that was ever told. Now, what makes it the greatest story ever told? What do we want to look at this morning, maybe in a different way than we have in this Christmas story? You know, we could talk about a lot of different aspects. I know I've preached about everything from the star that led the wise men to the shepherds on the hillside to the virgin birth to Joseph being the stepdad that he was. You know, I preached a lot of things, and I know you have too. But this morning I want us to see why this is the greatest story ever told. So we're going to look at four things this morning that I believe will help point us to the fact that this is the greatest story. First of all, we want to see that it was the greatest baby ever born. The greatest baby ever born. Number two is we're going to see he was the greatest man that ever lived. The greatest man that ever lived. Number three, we're going to see that he's the greatest Savior who truly saves. The greatest Savior who truly saves. And then we'll talk about that this is the greatest story that ever was told. So let's go back and look at these four things as we think about this being that greatest story ever told, which is our fourth point that we entitled it. So the first thing we see is we're looking at the birth of Christ, that it is the greatest baby that was ever born. Now, think about with me just a minute. You know, I know when we had our first child, and we'd been trying for about 5 years before we got expecting her, and I mean, we were so excited, and when she was born, you know, she was just a little small thing. She was premature, came a month early, just a little 5 pounds, 18 inches, and boy, she's a fiery woman now. You know, she just got Teacher of the Year for the junior high there at Weston this week. But, you know, it's just she really grown up to be the great person that we want her to be. But, you know, when she was born, guess what? She was the greatest baby ever born, right? Think about it. When you had your first baby, that's the greatest baby ever born, wasn't it? I can remember telling all my people at Mission Hill Baptist Church where I was pastoring when our three children were born. I remember telling them, boy, ain't that the prettiest baby you ever seen? And you can imagine what a premature baby looks like. You know, they're not the prettiest things, but she grew up to be a beautiful woman. But you know, when I think about, when I really think about every one of us, when we had that first child, and then what happens? Then that grandbaby comes along. I can remember when our first grandbaby was born, and it was by our daughter, our firstborn of ours. And I can remember when they first came to our house to visit, you know, that when that grandbaby finally gets to come to Grandma and Grandpa's house, I sat up all night long and rocked her. Finally, at 4 o'clock in the morning, I took her in there and gave her to Denise, and I said, okay, it's y'all's turn now. I've been rocking her all night long. So, you know, it's the greatest baby ever born when it's our baby. But really, the greatest baby ever born was Jesus Christ. You know, there's been some great ones throughout society, throughout the world that have been born, babies that have been born. But there's no greater baby that was ever born than Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know that? Because the Bible tells us something very special about this baby that it was born. We look back into chapter 1 in Luke, and we go back to that verse 27, where it says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou art found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now who? A virgin who is named Mary. So we see what makes this baby the greatest baby that was ever born is the miraculous birth of this baby. Now, I know through our years of dealing with young couples and stuff, there's been times, you know, that we've had some that had troubles having babies, and they went through all the different means of having that child, and you know, some of the great things that our doctors are able to do now. And sometimes, you know, we've said, boy, that's a miracle baby right there. That's a miracle baby. Look at that baby. That's a miracle baby. But you know, none of these babies will ever born of a virgin. None of these babies will ever born, well, except through some kind of help with the natural ways that we see, except for Jesus. Jesus is the greatest baby ever born because of his virgin birth, because he was born of that virgin. Isaiah, you go back to Isaiah, he talks about this, and you go back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it says, unto you a child is born, unto you what? A son is given unto you, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You know, there's been a lot of babies that we've called, boy, isn't he wonderful? Isn't she beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful baby? Isn't that a wonderful baby? But you know, not too many times have we called him Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, have we? We surely hadn't called him, you know, Mighty God when we look at those babies and we think about those babies. But Isaiah says, unto you, what? A child has been born, a son has been given, and upon his shoulders the government shall rest, because he's going to be that wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He's going to be that Everlasting Father. There's none that is going to be like unto him. He is and will always be the greatest baby that was ever born. And that's what makes it the greatest story, because he is that greatest baby. That baby Jesus, he is that greatest baby that ever was born. Well, if he's the greatest baby that was ever born, then guess what? Then we know that when he's grown, he's going to become what? It's number two. He'll be the greatest man that ever lived. He'll be the greatest man that ever lived. You know, there was a time when Jesus and his disciples were in a boat. You may remember this story. And as they were crossing the sea and all, and you remember a great storm came up. And I mean, they were all afraid and they were frightened. And they were wondering, you know, what in the world are we going to do? And Jesus was what? He was just asleep up there. And you know, they went and they woke him up, and they said, don't you care? You know, we're fixing to perish, and you need to help us here, because you know, this is a storm raging, and what are we going to do? And you need to help us with this, because this is a problem, and we're afraid we're all going to die. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 27, what did Jesus do? We see there in verse 26, after they wake him up, Jesus tells the sea and he tells the wind, what? Be still, be calm. And what happened? The sea was still and the wind died down. Now, you know, here the last several days, this week, first part of this week, we had pretty high winds blowing every day. 15, 20 mile an hour winds blowing during the day. And wouldn't it be something if you were in a great storm and if you could just say, okay, winds, calm down. All right, get still, ocean. Don't get in those waves. You know, I don't like big waves. I tell you, I get seasick if I'm in very big waves. And there's been a couple times that I've gotten sick, and I wished I could say, okay, see, get calm because you're making me sick. But can you imagine what happened when Jesus stood up and told the wind and the cease and told the ocean to become, the sea to become calm? And notice what happens in that verse 27 of Matthew chapter 8. What happens? We see that the men that were there, this is what the verse says. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Think about that just a minute. What manner of man is this that the sea and the wind, they both obey him? Now, you know, there's been some great men that have been born throughout history. We've had some great men, Jonah Salt and some of the others, who have came up with great things to help society and get us along. Thomas Edison, guys, those light bulbs. Man, what did we ever do without a light bulb, without these lights? I hear these old people talk about trying to read from old coal horn lamp and lantern, and I know we got several of those, and we've had to turn them on when electricity went off. But can you imagine these great men, you know, who was it? Booktube watching that invented peanut butter. Where would we be without peanut butter? You know, it's such a staple. There's been some great men that have come up with some great things. You know, it blows my mind with all these cell phones and how all that works, you know, how people come up with such great things. There have been some great men that have been born and have lived on this earth. But listen to me, there has been no one like Jesus. He was the greatest baby ever born. He is the greatest man that ever lived, that ever walked the face of this earth. I've known a lot of good men, a lot of good men that have been mentors to me, a lot of good men that have lived good lives, but there have never been one like Jesus. I mean, look at what all he did, not just the calming of the sea, but the healing of the people, the blind, the lame. He could walk. I mean, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He walked on water himself. And I mean, it wasn't some joke or nothing. You know, it's kind of like those preachers, three preachers that were fishing together in the boat. And one said, well, I left some tackle. And he gets out of the boat and walks on the water and goes over and gets his tackle box and comes back. And in a few minutes, one said, man, I ran out of worms. I've got to go get some worms out of the truck. So he jumps out of the boat, walks on the water and goes over there. And so the third preacher, you know, he's looking around. He says, man, I can't believe these guys walking on water. So he kind of feels kind of intimidated. So finally, he says, I'm going back to the truck and get my Coca-Cola. I left my Coke in the truck. So he jumps out of the boat and he sinks. And he comes up and he said, I just don't understand how you guys, you know, did that. And one looks at the other one and said, you reckon we're telling where the stumps are at? You know, so many times, that's kind of how we are. We're fakes. We're not real. We can't do those things. But listen to me. Jesus is the greatest man that ever lived. He actually walked on the water. He actually healed people. He actually raised the dead from the dead to raise them up. But you know, the greatest thing about Jesus is what we find in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. That which makes him the greatest man that ever lived. Listen to what it says. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities. But as in all points he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See, the greatest thing that makes God, that makes Jesus the greatest man that ever lived, him being the greatest baby that was ever born, becoming the greatest man that ever lived, what makes him the greatest man is that he is without sin. You know, I tell people all the time, I said, you ever seen a barber that didn't need a haircut? You ever seen a mechanic whose car didn't need working on? You ever seen a painter whose house didn't need painting? Then I always add, you ever seen a preacher that didn't sin? Because see, we all sin. We all come short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. But there was only one that was sinless. There was only one man that was perfect. And he is the greatest man that ever lived. He was the greatest baby ever born, the greatest man that ever lived, because he was without sin. And that's what none of us can say. None of us, anybody else can say that. If someone tells you they're without sin, then they just sin because they just lied. Every one of us are sinners. But Jesus Christ is the greatest man that ever lived because he's the only man that ever lived and did not sin. You know, we talked about this in our Sunday school class last week about Adam and Eve and the fall of man. You know, Adam and Eve had it made, but they couldn't live without sinning. Jesus is the only man that ever lived and didn't sin. Well, he's the greatest baby that was ever born. He's the greatest man that ever lived. And then thirdly, he is the greatest Savior because he truly saves. He's the only one that can truly save. You know, there's been a lot of men who supposedly were saviors. There's a lot of men who have claimed to be saviors. There's a lot of men who have claimed, you come follow me and everything's going to be all right. And we've seen the Jim Joneses and the David Koreshes who have come. And even Jesus warns us about that in his word. And even God's word tells us, be careful of those who come saying that they're the Christ. Be careful of those who claim to be the Savior. Those who claim that they can save you, because they can't. They can't. There's a lot of men who would try to get you to be their followers. A lot of people in this world who would tell you they can save you. But listen, they can't. I can't save anyone. I mean, Billy Graham couldn't save anybody, the greatest man that he was. But guess what? He could tell them about one who can. He could tell you one who can. You know, there's a song that talks about how that Christ, you know, we may not can make the lame walk, but I can tell you one who can. I might not can turn the water to wine, but I can tell you one who can. I might not can walk on water, but I can tell you one who can, because he's the greatest man that ever lived, because he is the true Savior. He is the one who can truly save you. So he's the greatest Savior that ever lived. There's been some deliverers. Moses was a great deliverer who brought the people out of the land of Egypt. But listen to me. He couldn't save them people. Them people, what'd they do? They turned away from God. And how many of them had to die? They wandered around in the wilderness to everybody that was 20 years of old and older. Moses couldn't save those people. He tried and tried and tried. But those people wouldn't. The only one that can truly save us is Jesus Christ. He's the greatest Savior because he truly saves. He can truly save you this morning. So that's what makes this the greatest story. That's what makes him the greatest man. That's what makes him the greatest baby that ever lived, is because he's the greatest Savior who can save all people. He's the only one that can save you. What did it say in verse 10 that we read here in Luke chapter 2? And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is who? Christ the Lord. I bring who? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the only. He is the only one that can save us. He is that mighty God, that everlasting Father. He is that Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He's the only one that can do that. Nobody else can do that. He is it. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 6, what did Jesus say? He said unto them, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. I am, he says, the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. Isn't that amazing? See, he is the greatest Savior because he is the only way. He's the only way. These people who get on TV and other places and start talking about these different ways to salvation, start telling you can do this, you can do that, that there's not, Jesus isn't the only way, there's more than one way. No, they're wrong. He's the greatest Savior ever born because he's the only Savior ever born. He's the only Savior who can truly save you. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. Anything less than Jesus is a lie. anything less than Jesus is a falsehood. It's somebody trying to mislead you, trying to lead you astray. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way we can have eternal life is through him. That was one of the gifts that we talked about last week. The greatest gifts that we ever got was eternal life. He came to give us life, eternal life. And he talked about there in John chapter 10, I believe it was, verse 28. He said, I come to give you life everlasting, and nobody will pluck you out. Nobody will pluck you out of my hand. See, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the greatest Savior that was ever born, that ever came to this earth, because he is the only one. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He says, neither is there what? Salvation in any other. For there is no other name which is what? In heaven, given to men, and under heaven, in heaven, given among men, whom by what? You must be saved. No other name, no other person, under heaven, in heaven, anywhere, even among all the men. What do we say? He's the greatest man that was ever born, right? The greatest man that was ever born. The greatest child that was ever born. The greatest man that ever lived. He's the greatest Savior, because there is none except him. So this morning, do you know him? He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. There's no other name you can name. There's no other person you can call on. There's no other way to salvation but through him. Well, then let's sum it up in the greatest story ever told. We got the greatest baby that was ever born, the greatest man that ever lived, the greatest Savior who truly saves. And that makes for a good story, doesn't it? He was born, he walked this earth sinlessly so that he could be that ultimate sacrifice, that Savior to us, each and every one of us, so that we can be saved. So it becomes the greatest story that was ever told. We see that the shepherds, when they received this word from the angels, and the angels go, what does the Bible say? They said, well, let's go and see this thing which has come to pass. And in verse 17 of chapter 2 of Luke, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. See, it was the greatest story they knew. I mean, them shepherds out there on them hillsides, I know a lot of times, they probably saw a lot of different and strange things. Can't you imagine being out there on that hillside at night every night, just watching those stars and listening to the cows and wolves howl and maybe hearing an old bear growl off in the woods or something, or lion? I mean, they probably saw all kind of things at night and probably had all kind of fascinating stories that they could tell. But the greatest story they ever heard and the greatest thing they ever seen was that of Jesus. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them. And then listen to what it says in verse 18. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. I mean, it was a great story. And when these people heard it, they wondered, well, what in the world is these shepherds talking about? What in the world are they talking about? You know, what's going on here? And then it says what? That Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. She thought about these things. She was listening to what those shepherds said. And then it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, we got to make known this story. We got to be like those shepherds. We got to let people know this is the greatest story that we can tell you. This is the greatest thing that we can tell you. You know, right now, people's talking about Christmas shopping and everything else, and a lot of people's talking about that shopping experience. Oh, man, I got such a deal here. Or, man, I went to Walmart and it was so crowded you couldn't get in. You know, we just came through summer. Now we're in deer season, you know. But, boy, back in the summer, boy, we was telling all kind of fish stories, wasn't it? Boy, people will tell you a fish story. I was somewhere just the other night. Well, it was after church Sunday. We were talking to the guy. He said, let me show you these fish stories, all these speckled trout we've been catching. And, boy, he had a bunch of them, big speckled trout that they'd caught down around Venice somewhere, you know, and we listened to that. Boy, it was a good story. And then, man, I've heard deer stories. I got one of my friends, he called me the other day, and he'd killed a buck and a doe. And, you know, he was telling me the story of how it all went about and how it happened. And he told me that story. And, you know, to hear those stories, isn't it something? You know, we tell stories about our children, our grandchildren. You know, I'm all the time using my grandchildren, aren't I, as stories that I tell in my sermons. I use them as references in my sermons a lot of time. But guess what? There's a better story than even my grandchildren. There's a better story than even my deer or fish I catch. There's a better story than some big deal I got shopping for Christmas. And that greatest story is all about Jesus, the greatest baby that was ever born, the greatest man that ever lived, the greatest Savior who truly saves. And his name is Jesus. He is that wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Do you know him today? Do you know him in this Christmas season? Do you really know this greatest story ever told? It's not just about some baby left in a manger. We like to tell that story about his birth and kind of leave it there. But you know, it goes much further than that, doesn't it? It goes much further than that. I was telling you about my daughter when she was born, and then I told you about how what a wonderful woman she's grown up to be. You know, that's the way Jesus was. It's much more than just that baby in a manger. The greatest man ever lived, the greatest Savior who truly saves. That's the greatest story ever told. Have you heard it? Do you know him? He's the only way to salvation. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively. And we pray, Lord, that we'll go through this Christmas season knowing that this truly is the greatest story ever told, because it's about the greatest Savior who truly saves. And his name is Jesus. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you, help them to accept you today, Lord, so that they receive the greatest Christmas gift ever in Jesus, their Savior. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen.